Welcome into the Train with the Best podcast, a podcast that is bringing high performance to the people. Yeah, Chris, I'm making it official. That is our new slogan because it's really what we do. That is the mission of this show. I'm Craig Hoffman. I'm a media professional and a high performance coach, a fitness professional.
And I'm Chris Gores, international presenter and master trainer.
Yes. Yes, he is. Master trainer for the people. So today we have a very cool conversation coming up in just a few minutes with two folks from Neuronic, a company that is really changing the game when it comes to infrared therapy. So we will get into that and what it has to do with high performance coming up in just a few minutes. But Chris, a little bit of dotting I's, crossing T's. I was like, make sure I get this right. We don't want to cross our I's and dot our T's because that's not how I's and T's
that's
work.
That's not how that works.
No, that'd be low performance. But we have Hyrox to talk about. This is our first podcast we're recording since my race. Earlier in the week, of course, or last week, depending on when you're listening to this, released our chats from the NFL Combine with our friends at Exos, our great friend, Araya Fish. We can now call her a great friend of the pod because she's been on 2 years
in a row.
Then Zach, one of the PTs, was awesome as well. Really good stuff. So if you missed those conversations, highly recommend checking them out. And what's funny, Chris, about the conversation with Araya is I made a very silly mistake in Hyrox, very related to our conversation with Araya.
What'd you do?
So
what'd you do?
We talked about in-game fueling and performance,
right,
or in-game nutrition, if you will. And I was very concerned about getting enough sodium and enough of the electrolytes in. And I was running the race and was probably about 5-6 stations in. So I'm 3/4 of the way through the race. And I could feel myself stopping sweating. For all of the electrolytes I got, Chris, I didn't have enough water. I forgot the most basic thing. I did not have enough actual water to carry the things around.
That tells me that whenever you took these electrolytes, that had to be nasty. Like that had to have been
I took them. I took them with like water. I took them with liquid, but I should have had additional, just like plain water with it, and I did not do that. And thus, I felt myself stop sweating and some things starting to cramp. And I was like, I am the world's dumbest person.
That's funny, man. That's funny. So you took the electrolytes, you took the salt, and you forgot to do the water.
Yeah. So luckily there was water on the course. So like every time I could get water, I was like, let's get a cup, let it go. And it's like, oh, okay, cool. I'm starting to sweat again. Right. But we did pretty well. Unfortunately, Rachel turned her ankle earlier in the week. So she was definitely disappointed because she felt she could have run faster. To which I told her, I don't know that I could have run much faster. So you really weren't holding us back. At the end of the day, I was holding us back, but she had to gut it out. I mean, that was definitely a painful thing. And she's done a great job of then backing off and treating her ankle and getting back to as close as she can to full health since then. But she battled through and did a phenomenal job. I think overall we did pretty well. My goal was to finish between 75 and 80 minutes, and we came in right at 79. Which all things considered, self-owns by me, bad luck on her part. I think that's pretty good.
That's pretty good. And it's your first one, man. So it'll get better from there, I'm sure. And we had a bunch of people doing, I think, Dr. Josh Funk was out there as well to do the DC one. I don't know if you've ever met Josh. Josh is, I wouldn't say a great friend of the pod, but he's definitely a friend and somebody that
he can
I
be a
like
friend
to...
of yours, even if he hasn't been on the podcast yet. That's allowed. Yeah.
And he was there. He also did the DC Hyrox, and then I got some invitations, of course, from our friend David to come and join the next one, to which I politely declined and said, "I think I'm good."
So, have we had the relay discussion on the pod yet?
We did. You know what? I would do the relay. Like, if you gave me 3 or 4 events to do, I
you only
got to
pick two. That's the thing. That's,
even
you
better.
You got to pick two. So for the Hyrox relay, it's a 1,000-meter run in one station, and then you do that twice, and it's a 4-person team, and that's how you finish the
events. So you have to do a run, though. Like, you can't just do the events.
Yes. So you do the run, then you do the station. That's how they split the relay. Then you tag your partner. They take off running and do the next one.
Got it.
So which of the eight would you want to do? So you got the 1,000-meter ski.
Nope.
You got 50-meter sled push, 50-meter sled pull, 1,000-meter row, 200 meter farmer's carry, 80 meter burpee broad jumps, 100 meters of walking lunges, and then 100 wall balls.
Give me the sled push and the farmer's carry.
That's actually a great combo because of where they are in the race. Because often, like, I have the same person, then I think of, like, relay teams. I'm like, oh, I want you to do the sled push and the ski erg, but those are the first two stations. So you don't want that. You want to give people rest in between. But the sled push is second, and the farmer's carry is sixth. So that's, like,
I got you.
Ideal.
Yeah. I'm out of there. Yeah. Heck yeah. Let's do it. All right. Now I'm excited. I'm in.
We're going to sign up for New York, and those are your two stations.
When is New York?
It's in June.
Okay.
Can Chris run 1,000 meters by June? It was a blast.
I can run 1,000 meters. Can I run 1,000 meters in a time that you guys are going to like? That's the question.
I think you get there. Can we just sub out Marcelo and let him run 1,000 meters?
Marcelo is so fast, man. It's pissing me off. He's actually pissing
me off. We should
talk
about that.
Yeah.
Get a Hyrox.
So he had his first, he had two track meets back to back because last week got rained out. So he had his first track meet on Monday. We're recording this on a Thursday. So he had his second track meet yesterday. He ran the hurdles for the first time and took that event home. He ran the 200. He didn't win. The person that beat him was a very good runner who's taller than him. And Marcelo just lost his advantage.
Marcelo's still only a freshman, sophomore?
He's in eighth grade.
Oh, he's not even.
He's in eighth grade. So he ran a 25.6 in his first 200, which is flying. I'll show you the video at some point. And he's flying off that turn, and he just didn't have the strength to finish at the elite level. But
because he's been running mostly 100s, right?
100s, yeah. And then he did long jump and triple jump. Triple jump is probably his best event. And then he closed out the day as the anchor for the 4x4, and they won that event as well. So I think he won two events, came second in two events. So overall, good day for him.
But a sub 26, 200 as an eighth grader.
Ugh. Yeah, it's not slow. It's not slow. It's I'm going to say that. It's not slow. It's fast enough for me to be like, I do not want to put my body through what it needs to go through to be able to beat you in that race. So you got it. it's yours.
Congrats. Yeah. It's you know, for most of us, it's like we remember when we beat our dads in one-on-one in basketball in the first time.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. In the Torres household, it's like, nah, kid, you got the 200.
Yeah, you got it. It starts at like the 400, then the 200, and then it comes down from there. Like I'll still get him probably in the 1 and the 60 if we do a 60. But nah, he's got.
I don't know,
got
man. He's running sub 12 once.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know.
All right,
I
maybe
know you're fast.
Maybe Go I'm ahead. Down. Maybe I'm down to just the 40 now.
Like, you know, you're not going to teach him how to start on a 40 just so you can.
Yeah,
still
yeah,
beat
yeah,
him.
Yeah. How do that? I do this? I'm not telling you.
Figure it out.
Yeah,
figure it out, kid. You know what I learned yesterday? So yesterday, again, we're recording this on Thursday, March 14th. So last night was Wednesday night, March 13th, and I went and helped Ashley Hatch out at her semi-annual at this point. I feel like they're doing it twice a year. Pro camp. And it's a really cool event they do with DC Scores nice. Here in DC. And they take adult soccer players uh-huh. who want to get better. And it's like a train like a pro camp. And so Ashley nice. And a bunch of her spirit teammates, I got to meet a bunch of the rookies. They're great, great group that they brought in this year. And so they put on this camp. And it's at Cardozo. Uh-huh. And I learned that Dalila Muhammad went to Cardozo High School because Rachel decided she was going to look up the track records at Cardozo and compare them to what her times were when she was in high school and a track star. And all of a sudden, she's looking at the 400 hurdles and she's like, that's a fast time.
Yeah.
Dalila Muhammad. Wait a second.
Yeah.
How many 18-year-olds named Dalila Muhammad have run 57 in the 400 hurdles?
Oh my God. 57. Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah. So that's Dalila Muhammad's record in the 400 hurdles.
Yeah.
Insanity. Right. Good time. So that was my fun fact that I learned yesterday and brought with me to Cardozo High School last
night. Nice. Cool.
So what's Marcelo? There's your goal. Can you beat Dalila Muhammad?
I think his goal for this season, like he really wants to do well in triple jump. That's the event that he enjoys. Like it's so technical and it's just how his brain works, and he's actually got a lot of room there to improve. I think he jumped a 33 foot, which is going to qualify him for regionals and states already. Where last year he did not qualify, he just missed it. So he really likes triple jump. And that 200, I think when I did run track, 200 was my best event. So I think that's an event that he really likes, and he does do it well. So I think that, a 24 is going to be I think it's possible for him this season. And then who knows after that?
Yeah. I mean, that's now we're talking serious times. I love the 200. It's just such a fun race. I mean, it's about 50 meters longer than it is to be like maximal fun. Like a 150 is actually like really fun.
But fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause like the last 50 meters, you're like, oh God, I'm still going. Yeah. But that, I mean, it also depends on how fast you are. If you can get there faster, if you're Marcelo and you know, that last 50 meters only takes you 6 seconds, then okay, that's not that bad. But you know, that you come flying off that curb and you feel that slingshot out of it.
Yeah.
It's the best. Yeah. So that is that's kind of where we are on the week. We got plenty of cool stuff to come over the next couple of weeks as well in the plan. So got a couple of things, a couple of High Rocks adjacent things. I'm obviously starting my Elite Athlete program this weekend with a workshop at Elevate. So if you're a DC local and you want to come see kind of what it is that we're talking about in this high performance space, get a little bit of a taste of it. Would love to see you. Just sign up on Elevate's website. Or in Mind Body, if you have that app and you're a DC local. So and if you want more about the program, you can check out the podcast 2 shows ago, I think it was, where we talk about high performance training and how it can intersect with hybrid racing. So starting that with a workshop, and then we are launching the Elite Athlete program. So I'm excited to be back coaching full time here, or I guess, it's part time, but full time. I have a program that I'm doing here in the next couple of weeks. So we'll be talking about that on the pod for sure. Also got a couple of guests from that world that I want to connect with, so we will do some of that. But on a very different scale, we are also kind of extending the NFL Combine by now having on some guests that we met in Indianapolis, and that starts with our next conversation here on the Train with the Best podcast. The Train with the Best podcast is brought to you by Momentous. And Chris, I remember when Momentous was just a company with 3 protein blends, and then
that was it.
Now, pretty much anything in the supplement game you can get at livemomentous.com.
That's right. If you go to livemomentous.com right now, you might not even recognize some of these products. And for me, I'm definitely going to change my monthly subscription. I've been getting the Brain Drive, I've been getting the Elite Sleep, I've been getting the Collagen, and it looks like I need to up my game a little bit and take a look at some of these products like the Alpha.
Yeah, no doubt. And what's great about Momentous's website, which you can go to right now, livemomentous.com, is that they also have a lot of descriptions and information on best usage, best practices. It's not just like, hey, here's all this stuff. It's like, hey, are you looking for this? Well, then you should get that. So any supplementation needs you may have, they've got you covered. And it's stuff that, like, look, if you want the 4-hour description on what Tongat Ali does, you go to the Huberman Lab podcast. They got you covered. That's not us, but it might be something that you need. So go check it out. And here's what we do have for you. We have a discount. LiveMomentous.com. Use TWTB at checkout for a special discount. TWTB is in Train with the Best at LiveMomentous.com. The Train with the Best podcast is brought to you by Jocku, and we've been partners with Jocku for basically a year now, Chris. Can't believe how much the time has flown by. And it's still just as spectacular as it was when we discovered it.
It's plain and simple. Good, reliable timing on your speed drills, on your multi-directional drills. You know, how many of us who are speed coaches just need a good, accurate time out there to verify, one, the results that we're getting, and two, the trends that we're going in, right? So this is a great product for anybody who is a speed trainer or anybody who works with athletes. And now you're even able to track vertical jump, which is such a valuable tool when you're taking a look at somebody's program. So make sure you check out Jocku. And Craig, what's the code that they should be using?
You go to jocku.com/discount/TWTB. You get a 20% discount on all Jocku products, so the muscle blasters and everything as well. But yeah, I mean, I used to always love coming down to Onyx, testing my vertical on the Vertec machine. Now I don't even have to do that. You don't need a big, giant, high ceiling to have a Vertec and be able to extend it up. You just put the Jocku on your wrist, set it up. There you go. It's all cell phone app based. So go to jocku.com/discount/TWTB. Get 20% off the Jocku Speed and all other Jocku products. The Trim the Best podcast is brought to you by Blaze Pod. And Chris, what's so great about Blaze Pod is you can use it in every part of the workout. You can use it to help warm up. You can use it in kind of your main parts of the workout. You can use it as a finisher. What's your go-to recently with Blaze Pod?
Yeah, for me, what I love using Blaze Pod for is just keeping our athletes engaged. So, you know, you can get into the rut of the workout where you're doing time sets. If you've got 30-second plank, a 30-second wall sit or whatever, but if you add Blaze Pods to that, now that 30 seconds doesn't seem like it's so long, and it keeps the clients a little bit more engaged, a little bit more motivated to perform well, and it's something that just adds a lot of fun to the session.
No doubt. We could all use a little attention for our inner child. And who doesn't love stuff that lights up? And oh, by the way, it's an elite training tool, the best of all worlds. And of course, we got the hookup for you. Use the code TWTB at blazepod.com for 15% off your order. That's TWTB, as in train with the best, for 15% off at blazepod.com. Our guests today, yes, I did say guests, plural, from a very cool company called Neuronic, new on the scene. We're going to learn all about them, and I'm going to actually let them introduce themselves here so that you have the names and the voices as a podcast listener straightened out, and you'll see very quickly it's very easy to distinguish between the two.
Thanks, Craig. I really appreciate you guys having us on. My name is Austin Bodine. I'm the senior account executive with Neuronic, and I've been with the company for just a little over a year, helping to kind of get it out to the masses.
So my name is Liam Pingree, one of the co-founders of Neuronic. As Craig already said, you can distinguish between the voices. I'm actually Irish, and the other co-founder of the company is German. We've been working in this space for about 3 years, and essentially it's a neurotech device that uses light therapy on the brain.
Awesome. So I came across this product at the NFL Combine, just walking around, and one of the cool things about the Combine is you have a lot of companies out there showing off not just the latest and greatest in research, but what's the cutting edge in technology. And it definitely caught my eye. So talk a little bit about when you founded the company, Liam, or when you co-founded the company, what was your mission of the company? What was this about for you?
Great question. It started really with a Facebook video. Strange enough, a guy who had Parkinson's, he was taking medication for several years, and he said to his doctor, "Hey, this isn't working anymore. So what can I do?" And the doctor said, "Well, there's not really many other things." He did his own research, and he came across light therapy used on rats in a study. And he said, "Hey, can I use the study that was done here? Can I use the light therapy on myself? If it worked on them, why not me?" And so the doctor said, "Oh, this wouldn't be around for 10 years or so." He took it upon himself. He got this bucket that you wash a car with, a strip of near-infrared lights, and stapled a strap under his chin. He wore the bucket like every day. And in the video, it reported, "Max can play the piano again. Max has 9 out of 10 symptoms improved." And that was a moment I was like, no way is this actually true. I'm seeing this on a Facebook video by ABC News. And I looked on Google Scholar, read all the papers and the articles, and seen, hey, there's actually some science behind this. NASA used it in the 1970s on the International Space Station for accelerated wound healing. So there's enough credibility here to actually look into this further. And the idea then was to kind of commercialize a product so people didn't have to create something from their garage and put it together and see what they could do, but to actually make a device that was studied, research was behind it, and then scale it out to the masses. As a personal note, I had someone that was affected with memory loss already. And for me then, when I kind of came across this idea, it was something that I was definitely passionate to get started and do.
So it was interesting reading your website, because I think you guys are responsible with kind of where the research is right now, which is that so much of you have like all the different things that has been used to treat. And a lot of it's like the research is very early, but it is promising. Why is this taken? If NASA is using this in the 1970s, why has this been something that, if it has this potentially extremely high, potential, why has it taken so long to research, and kind of what are the ongoing research applications, some of the ones that are most intriguing to you guys, and why you want to make this available on a mass scale?
Your question's great, and we ask ourselves that every day, why it's not more widely adopted, because the effects are profound in a range of different conditions. I definitely think fundin. It's been used by different clinics for wound healing and then cancer patients. There's like full light therapy beds that people are using for like optimal performance. It's more recently being kind of studied on the brain. And I think it's because the brain is actually such a difficult organ to understand. And we still have so much more to figure out about it that it was kind of the last point of contact that people have been, you know, putting other therapies on. But we are seeing a lot more research come out with that. And, you know, there's, we hear of many different conditions. We started out thinking memory and Parkinson's as the kind of video, and it's gone into brain fog. We had a study released on that. It's gone into PTSD, ADHD, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, and even Lyme's disease. Having a friend and see the recovery in that, it's just been phenomenal.
Awesome. So I want to actually back up a little bit here, because we're talking about obviously the effects of the brain, which is the product that you guys have. But I also wanted to talk about the science of photobiomodulation in general for our audience who may not be familiar with red light therapy, infrared therapy. So Austin, if you could, is there a difference between red light and infrared, and what is the benefit of photobiomodulation?
Yeah, so I guess start with the first question, what is red light therapy versus, you know, what we're using infrared? More people are familiar with red light therapy, where it's in that 600 nanometer wavelength that's visible to the eye. So that's those beds you see a lot recently, the face masks that a lot of people are wearing these days. So what we're doing is it's a higher wavelength at the 1070 nanometer. That's where we're able to see actually the penetration into the brain and see results cognitively. But yeah, in general, with when it comes to photobiomodulation, you can kind of think of it as it's just light enhancing the body. If you look at today, most people are inside throughout the day. They're not getting that natural sunlight throughout the day. They're not getting their blue and red light during the mornings, and then actually 1070 during the day as well.
Got it.
So here's the real test for you guys as a company. Can you then make this explainable to the masses? Hi, it's me. I'm the masses. Chris has his Ivy League brain, and then there's me over here. Why does this work? Right? Because it sounds very, a phrase that we've been throwing around in our house a lot lately. It sounds very woo woo. It sounds like there's no way this could possibly work. So what is it that is actually happening in a way that, like, how do you describe it to people? Say like, all right, this is what the light does. This is the impact it's having, and thus that's why we get the results.
Yeah, you can kind of think of it like photosynthesis. It's that same kind of context. So in the scientific level, the light is actually able to penetrate down to the cellular level on the mitochondria. Everyone's pretty familiar with the mitochondria, the powerhouse of the cell. We all learned.
I'd heard that as the powerhouse of the cell.
So essentially what you can say is there's a little part of the mitochondria that is light receptive. So what it actually does is stimulate the mitochondria, start a healing process, and help it produce a thing called ATP, which is essentially just fuel for the brain.
Got it. I like ATP. That's a phrase that we're familiar with when we're talking about, obviously, like power production, strength gains, all those other things. So the more ATP that we can produce or provide or give to the body, the better. What are some of the maybe side effects of red light? Are there any?
Well, when it comes to near infrared, it's different. It's a non-significant risk device. And actually, it's not a medical device. It is a wellness device because we don't actually have that FDA approval yet. We are in process, but it still will. It definitely takes time. I forgot the question. What was it?
So I phrased it wrong because you guys are infrared and not red light. Oh. Thanks for explaining that difference. But what's the negative, or what are the side effects that people have to be aware of, or are there any?
There are a few. There is what we call overstimulation, where you're using too much of the light. Actually, those things typically is maybe a light headache, maybe quick onset anxiety, tiredness, and then maybe a slight little bout of anxiety. Typically, it happens during the session or shortly after, but that's what we typically have standard protocols on our device to reduce that risk of happening. They're very rare in nature, but they definitely are possibilities. One thing to note, like someone that it's very pharmaceuticals really affect them strongly, that light therapy may be similar, so they'd want to start slower and then ramp themselves up.
We think of like light therapy in general, but there's actually different applications of it. Like you can have LED, you can have lasers. And when we're looking at lasers, it's actually like columnated. So the point, it's actually going to heat up the tissue if you leave it there long enough. So we see a lot of like handheld lasers. They're actually applied by clinicians in practice, and that's for safety reasons. Our device uses like LEDs, so there's only so much power that's coming out of them, and it's not enough to actually heat the tissue. So that's like a big difference as well. So when we're looking at our devices, they can be wellness because it's non-significant risk, it's LED. If you're going into the laser category, which still could be near infrared or red, then you are actually in a different category where there is a little more risk associated with that.
Got it. So I actually have seen this because we used to in a place where we used to have clients, we offered laser therapy and it's all the same photobiomodulation. So are you saying that laser is just a more intense version of what infrared and red light LEDs offer?
Well, yeah, in terms of like light therapy, the laser is more intense. It's more focused on a specific area. With the LED, you know, a lot of the time they have a lens on them and it can actually disperse the light. So I think like certain ones have like a 30 degree angle on it. And when you actually shine it, it's going to create like a larger circle on the wall as opposed to that pinpoint thing that you usually see.
As opposed to that focused. Well, yeah, got it.
Exactly.
So ultimately, what gets you guys at the NFL Combine? What is it about pro football and high-level sports that you guys think this wellness device could help with?
Yeah, I mean, I was able to attend the event, and the real main focus was we've seen a lot of benefits for concussion protocols and TBIs. Actually, my own mother-in-law suffered a pretty severe TBI just about 5 months ago. We found her at the bottom of the stairs in a pool of blood, unconscious, two broken wrists, and a severe TBI. It caused her a lot of issues from vertigo, massive headaches, fatigue, concentration issues. She started using our device, and after just about a week, she could feel the reduction of her brain inflammation. Her concentration and fatigue started to improve. After about 2 months, she had to stop using the device because she had back-to-back wrist surgeries. And after not using it for 2 days, all of those symptoms started to come back, as well as those vertigo-like symptoms pretty severely. She put the device back on immediately after a day. All the symptoms alleviated. Now, after 5 months, she doesn't even have to use it daily, just weekly or three times a week. And she's not seeing any of those side effects from the TBI. She's, you never even guess at this point she had a TBI other than her filter, but I think that's more by choice than actually the TBI anymore.
So from a high performance standpoint, if you are like, obviously, you know, number one ability is availability. So if you're an NFL football player, the ability to come back faster and be better is there. But is this something that you would say is purely like a therapeutic implementation on kind of the wellness side? Or is there, you know, because a lot of times you take things that are maybe initially designed, and this is, you know, like our friend Dr. Jason Wersland at Therabody with the Theragun, like it was something that he started as a way to fix an injury. And now he's like, well, this is how you can use it proactively to help prevent injury and to perform better. And you wind up using some of the similar things to actually enhance your performance as opposed to just fixing something when it is wrong. Is there kind of that implementation as well when we think about the world of high performance where use or some use case of infrared therapy in this way with the neuronic device could ultimately help be a performance enhancer in a way that's you know, performance enhancing winds up beginning to sound like performance enhancing drugs and has a negative connotation, but ultimately like we're trying to enhance performance with training. And so a performance enhancer.
I think 100%, there's a neuroprotective factor with the device. Fundamentally what it's doing, increasing blood flow, reducing inflammation and increasing your cellular energy. That's going to be helpful in all walks of life and performance, especially. When we were at the NFL Super Bowl party the day before, it was the Brain Hacking Lounge, and we were invited there to work with some other companies and present what we were doing. And another company that was there, NeuroCatch, they have a device that you can assess the brain, you can look at the cognitive processing speed. And we had a junior football player use it. He didn't have any brain injury, no known concussions, etc. And he did the baseline with their device. Then he did a protocol with ours, and then straight away he did another after test. And you could see the 20 millisecond increase in his cognitive processing speed just from, you know, that 10-minute session. So it does have like an immediate effect, and your ability to make decisions, to think quicker, to not have any like brain fog, to have that energized brain is all there really. Now, a lot more research has to come out on this. I think, you know, the metrics have to be in place. You know, we have to see a lot more scans, large scale studies to really say we can make these claims. But this is what we're finding so far. And we're seeing other like longevity gurus take on this device to try. You know, they're asking, can we try it? Can we use it? And some of them have been now for months. And we're looking forward to sharing that once they provide the results that they're seeing.
Are those... and again, I appreciate that you guys are talking about the research in terms of kind of where we are right now. And I also very much look forward to when you guys have more long-term and larger studies to report back on. But from what you've been able to find so far, are these gains, if you will, short-term, long-term? Like how, if he did the athlete that you tested on at the Super Bowl, right? You said it's a 10-minute session and then you immediately test again and you have this uptick in performance cognitively. If you were to have done that test an hour later, 5 hours later, would you see the same thing? What's kind of the expiration in terms of what you understand so far?
Yeah, I know I did the exact same test on my own brain, not a football player, but it was an hour later and still seen an increase in the results. And in general, I think with light therapy, it does last for a few days. Specifically, I think the biggest benefit will be the same day. But as you stop using it, it's going to wear off. It's kind of like sunlight. It's kind of like vitamins that you take. You know, it's in your body for a while. It's been used. But once it's kind of gone, it's then wearing off that effect. Now, it's helpful. And if you have a condition where there's a bigger deficit in your brain's energy, you're going to have a more notable effect. Because the high-performance people are usually at a state where, you know, they're quite healthy, you're going to see an effect, but not as large.
Got it. So I love the cognitive agility that we're getting into, because we talk about that a lot when we talk about training for any sport, really. There's going to be some sort of decision making, some sort of recognition that you're going to have to perform, and then you're going to have to execute off that decision. When I think about something like 20 milliseconds, I think of a baseball player or a softball player, and they've got, I don't remember exactly how many, but it's not that many more milliseconds than 20 to decide whether they're swinging or they're not. So this is something that would absolutely fit into that realm. What other performance things would that help with? Right? If we're able to use light therapy to reduce inflammations locally in different muscles of the body, how does it affect performance when we're reducing inflammation in the brain?
Yeah, I think decision-making processing speed alone. So improving blood flow and oxygen to the brain is going to make it work much more efficiently. And then what we're seeing with the cognitive processing speed improvements is overall, if you're thinking about a quarterback and looking, if he might have long-term better, quicker, better decision-making on where to throw that ball, we're going to see overall better performance of his brain and then the outcomes and his abilities.
Yeah, I actually, it's funny that I accidentally almost was talking about like a performance enhancing drug earlier, but I think what people don't realize about like a PED is it doesn't give you superhuman strength on that day. Right. It's the gains over time that you make. Because if you take something that allows you to train harder and stay healthier and perform at a higher level consistently, that becomes the level of your training, which is why people can cycle on and off of them and maintain a lot of the performance over time. And I also think about that from like a pure training side. If you cognitively are just sharper in your practices, you're going to be a better player over time. So it does, I think, in that way, meld really well with kind of some of the stuff in terms of consistency and training and the types of training, Chris, that we talk about a lot, that it can just, it makes your practice better. And if your practices are better, then ultimately your performance will be as well.
Yeah, and it's not like it's a one-time use. It's something we kind of think of as a vitamin. You want to use it every day, and over time, you're going to see a buildup of these improvements, and then you're going to have that longer-lasting effect. Typically, what we're seeing in our clinical studies, case studies, is about 5 weeks is where we see actual notable cognitive processing testing improvements. And that's really where we see, you know, 20% improvement in short-term memory, cognitive processing speed improvements, cognitive function. So yeah, it definitely takes time, but once you get there, it's much more sustained and you're seeing it more frequently.
How much of that has to do with anything that's sleep related? Because I, you know, Chris, you can laugh. This has become my whole personality. I just read a pretty good, interesting book, Why We Sleep by Matthew Walker. And It talks in different parts of the book about the effects light has on your circadian rhythm and all the things that happen from some of the stuff that we have talked about, performance, cognitive, et cetera, to things that I was reading about on your website in terms of mood, for instance, that you guys have also seen some results of, and how much of that has to do with your quality and the types of sleep that you get. So how much or have you guys been able to connect kind of what is happening with the light therapy to the effects it has on sleep?
Yeah, I mean, one aspect of our device is we have a peace setting that actually helps in the alpha brain activity aspect of the brain. And that helps with kind of relaxing your consciousness, calming your central nervous system. And that's where we really start to see benefits for those for looking for sleep improvement and enhancement.
And then I think to add to that as well, like somewhere we did read from the, you know, the scientific advisory board that we have on the team, that the red light may actually help increase melatonin. And not only that, but a lot more research is coming out about the lymphatic drainage system and how red light therapy can actually encourage that. So not just talking about our device here, talking about all red light therapy devices that are applied around the face, around the neck, even the whole body systems. Because there is free-floating mitochondria in the blood cells. So even though we're targeting the brain, it's actually going further. And if people are doing like wraps on their arms or full body panels, it's also actually going to be moving around anyway. We had a clinician, for example, using the device, and she was using it for about a week, and she was coming into the office, and everyone in the office was like, hey, your skin's glowing. Have you changed something? Because, you know, your face is just radiating. And she had like a deviated septum. We had surgery on that, and there was a dent always in her nose, and even that had healed, which goes to show, you know, our helmet goes on top of the head. It's not targeting the actual face. It's not a mask. But because of this and the movement of the blood, the increased blood flow, it's actually repaired all that and increased the skin quality.
That's interesting. Yeah. Cause I know like Jason just launched within the last year, the mask. Red light mask as well. Yep. And I've seen that.
Sure. And there are a bunch out there. As you know, I've gotten into skincare routines, so I've definitely seen some of the red light therapy masks as part of a skincare routine. We've definitely seen a lot more of these red light or light therapy saunas come out, which is something that I actually like. I like the idea of that because for me personally, that's something that I can put into a gym without having to have too much of a cleanup thing, right? Like when I think about the way that my gym is set up, If I was to put in a sauna in here, I'd have to have a room in there where people could change and all this other stuff. And I could have that, but that's a much bigger project than just having a red light therapy room or a light therapy sauna that you could jump into for 5 to 10 minutes and get the same benefits.
Or a neuronic helmet.
Yeah. I mean, when I saw the helmet at the combine, it was very intriguing because this is something that you can find 5 to 10 minutes a day to wear, right? And if the benefits are there and there's not a whole lot of negatives that are there, there's not a whole lot of side effects that are going to negatively impact me, right? Like we talked about the use of laser earlier. This isn't a laser, so it's not going to burn you or do anything. So if I can get 20 milliseconds faster decision-making out of just the 5-10 minutes that I'm just going to be sitting there anyway, you know, it seems like a pretty low risk, high reward thing for me.
Yeah. And the thing is, as well, you can do anything pretty much when you're on it. You know, you put the device on, it's plugged in, you have a controller, you click start, your program is literally running, and you could be scrolling your phone, you could be reading your morning news, whatever it is. So it's not really like something out of your day anyway.
Anything else you guys want to add here as we wrap up?
Not that I can think of, to be honest. I think, you know, you definitely asked the questions on the high performance on that. I think it's a really exciting time for us. We're doing a lot of research and we're focused on getting an FDA device license for Alzheimer's. But really, we do have in the kind of mid-run a lot of different athletes, NFL, NHL players, longevity gurus, as I said, using the device and actually kind of saying, hey, can I get one of these? And we have a few people actually lined up. We've just gone out of stock again. So we're having to tell these people that are, you know, big influencers, sorry, we actually can't send you one because we don't have any left, which is always a good sign, right? But still, it's an exciting time for us and people are actually seeing the benefits, and it's through word of mouth, it's through these clinicians and other people that people are sharing the success stories and getting in touch with us We do advertising as every normal company, but it's not a large scale yet. So we've been quite fortunate that people are finding great things with it.
It's the best kind of advertising is the natural word of mouth.
Natural, organic, right?
People are like, hey, this thing has helped me. And that's way better than an Instagram ad, which most of us just are annoyed by and click through. Austin, Liam, this was really insightful. Thank you so much for your time. And we look forward to hopefully talking to you as more of your research comes into focus down the road. And you guys, best of luck with getting the FDA approval and everything else you're working on.
Brilliant. Thank you, guys.
Thanks.